Your attention, please.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Is this haunted room actually stretching?
Remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor.
There's no turning back now.
Okie dokie. Welcome to the saddest podcast on earth, where three grown adults commiserate over their separation anxiety from the happiest place on earth during quarantine. Each episode, we'll work through our sorrow by breaking down Disneyland by category and then discussing our consensus top five things in that category, as well as what we believe the worst thing in that category is. And today's category is snacks. Just a couple disclaimers up top here. First, we're only covering snacks in the Disneyland Resort, so that's Disneyland proper and California Adventure, as well as adjacent Disney hotels if people chose stuff from there. Second, we define snacks as food served from carts and quick service stops. Also, drinks aren't considered snacks, which did irk one of the three of us, but we won't point fingers now. And also, we're not talking meals from quick service here. We're talking snacks. No one's considering a plate of chicken fingers snacks, you weirdo. Third, we missed Disneyland, but we're not hoping it's going to open before it's safe to do so. We made this podcast as a therapeutic device to talk about Disneyland until it can safely open. And finally, this list is once again a consensus among the three of us, formed by a point system. So we each made our own top fives, and a ranking of first is worth 5 points, a ranking of second is worth 4 points, and so on and so on and so on. And then I tallied the scores to create this aggregate ranking. As such, only I know the contents of the list, and the rankings will be revealed live to the other two. Speaking of the other two, I'm joined today by my two friends, Amanda Pham and Byron Marin, who are the only two people I know that have an unhealthy obsession with Disneyland, like I do. And between the three of us, we've logged over 2,000 visits to the park. Without further ado, how was it making this list compared to the rides? This is the second episode now. Let's start with Amanda here again.
It was more fun to decide, I would say.
I think we should just get this out of the way now. Amanda, you were the one who was angry that drinks were not considered snacks.
Right.
I will read to you now the definition of a snack.
Oh.
Hold on. I typed in, are drinks considered snacks, into Google, and this very factual website, you might have heard of it, called Wikipedia, said beverages such as coffee are not generally considered snacks, although they may be consumed along with or in lieu of snack foods. So take that for what you will. I do consider that to be pretty much in the camp of myself and Byron, in that snacks are not drinks.
Just a little, some form of solidity. Is that even a word?
There needs to be something solid in it. So like, ice cream is a snack. You put it in a drink, there's still ice cream in that, you know, so that it would be considered a snack, in my opinion. Look, we don't need to get lost in the semantics of snacks. We're here to talk about the Disneyland Resort. Define snacks. We'll do that another day. Anyways, Byron, how was making this list for you?
Easier than last week's. I made this one quick and painless. I think I got attached to the rides on the last list.
I, as I said up top in the intro, I'm the only one who knows the contents of this consensus list. And I'll say this list is also equally atrocious, in my opinion. Last episode, don't want to keep calling back to other episodes if you're not a, you know, day one listener of the saddest podcast on earth. But I will say that in the first episode, I was not able to prevent the horrible tragedy that was Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout making it into the top five.
I believe
list.
Like three of your top five rides still made it.
Yeah, but that one making it in, I was not able to save the list. And then likewise for this list, there were things I was not able to prevent. And that being said, let's just jump into it. Number five. Now, I will say this. For the consensus number five, there was a tie. So I guess it's 4A and 4B. Not to say that the one is better than the other. There is a tie, though. So that will take up the slots of 5 and 4. And I'm going to announce in a totally not biased way which one I think should be 5. Or 4B, rather. 4B is... It's the Ronto wrap from from Star Wars Land that comes in hot at number 5. Ironically, that food never comes to me hot when I buy it there. So that's kind of fun. Let's just go to straight to it. Let's go right to the finger pointing. This one, why don't we start off with Amanda here on Ronto Raps. Now, first, as before, you announce where this was on your own personal list, and then how you feel about it. So let's start with Amanda.
So for sure, it's maybe my second favorite snack. But to be clear, I want to clarify, it's the Ronto-less wrap, not the Ronto wrap.
The Ronto-less wrap.
It's the vegetarian version.
I see.
And I actually think it's better than the actual real or Ronto wrap. I don't know if you ever tried it, but it's actually really good.
I've unfortunately tried the Ronto wrap. And it's like, you know what? It's not bad. It's not, it's, but you know, seeing as this is a top five list, I thought we were not going for, you know, not bad.
No. The Ronto-less wrap is amazing. I think it's amazing. But I also knew that you guys probably wouldn't have picked that.
I have a hot take on here as well, so I'm
okay.
But it didn't make the list, so I'm a little salty, maybe. That's why. Now, Amanda, where did you have this on your list?
This one was number two.
It had to be pretty high, yeah.
Yeah, it had to be pretty high for it to make it in, because spoiler
alert.
Doesn't sound like
you had it on your list.
I definitely did not have it on my list. Amanda, since you're going to be the only one who has to explain why this is on the list, you should probably explain why this is on the list.
I just think, I don't know how to explain it. It's actually really good. Every time I'm there, since Galaxy's Edge has opened, I just run there. Once it released. Before that, I thought nothing was going to Galaxy's Edge.
So let me unpack just that sentence really quick.
What?
And I hate to keep picking on you here, but you know, someone's got to do it. In that last sentence, to recap, you say that when Galaxy's Edge opens, the first thing you run to is the Ronto-less wrap. The Ronto-less wrap. The Ronto-less wrap, and not say, I don't know, Smuggler's Run or...
Oh, no.
Or Rise of the
Resistance. Maybe she's like waiting
Cantina.
For a boarding group or something.
Mm, that's fair.
I like to eat in line. That works. True.
Have you tried the breakfast version?
Oh, yeah, I have. And that actually is not bad either.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, look at that.
Ronto wrap crossed my mind because I do actually think it's good.
It is good.
That being said, it did cross my mind, and I thought, oh, I can't. I'm going to get trash if I put this on there. I can't do it.
So, do you agree with it even making like sniff in the top five at all? Is it crazy to you that it's in there?
Well, it hasn't even been around for a full operating year.
That's true.
But, literally released like.
But
just
first
now.
Impressions, I actually like it, but it would need more time to grow on me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's funny that you brought it up because I actually do enjoy it, and it did cross my mind. When I was making the list, but I kind of laughed at myself. So I was like, dude, there's no way. Like,
I'm so sorry.
Basically, I thought I'd be where you're sitting right now on this if I would have actually put it on my list. And I easily found five other ones that I a little, you know, I hold closer to my heart. So
Yeah. Look, to say my list is, no pun intended here, caked in nostalgia when it comes to the snacks, you know, that's an accurate statement. I'm man enough to admit that a lot of mine have nostalgia factored in. So maybe that prevented me from seeing Ronto-less wraps for what they are.
Is that your mission breakout for this week?
It might be. I think this one is just as big of a tragedy. I saw it happen in slow motion almost. And it's like, you know when like the hero of a movie goes to try and catch someone as they're falling off like a cliff or a building, and it cuts to that like close-up shot where like you could see the hands almost meeting, but then just missing it by a touch, and they just see that person plummet to their death? That person plummeting to their death, to me, is the legitimacy of this podcast. And that's fine, because we plan on eventually working towards zero listeners, zero monthly. We want zero monthly listeners eventually. So, you know, we had a strong showing for the first episode. Thank you to everybody who listened. I appreciate it. Now, and having started from that mountaintop, we're now going to systematically work our way to the bottom, to base camp, as all successful ventures do. So,
just expedite the process.
Yeah. Anyways.
What was 4A or 4A?
This is 4, you could say 4A, 4B. I'm going to call it 4B. And look, I'll say this. After all the shit I've talked, and here's how you know I'm an asshole. I just talked all that smack. And got to say, it's a pretty good rap. The Ronto rap is actually quite tasty. I actually remember when I had it the first time I went to Star Wars Land, it was one of my standout memories in that it was both fluffy and kind of crunchy. I like the mix of textures when it comes to food. It kind of reminded me of my near and dear cheesy gordita crunch at Taco Bell. Also, there's like a mouth-numbing thing inside the Ronto wrap that I really dig. It's kind of if you're familiar with Sichuan Chinese food, it has a similar quality to that. So I appreciate that for injecting a little culture into the food at Disneyland, which they do sometimes to mixed results. their boba was pretty good. I remember when they did that. That was all right.
The boba was not good.
It wasn't great.
It wasn't good.
I applauded them for trying.
Right. But it wasn't good.
I mean, it wasn't great. You know what? You're right. It wasn't good. But the Ronto wrap, look, it's a head scratcher, but it's not like a... I could see why someone would put it in their top five. Let's just say that.
Would you guys agree that it being the best, I think it's universally like the best food you could get in Galaxy's Edge, that in itself is kind of a disappointment?
It's really
bad. Is that
bad,
fair to
yeah.
say? That yeah. Galaxy's Edge food is just not that good?
I was a little disappointed by the food offerings in the sense that, like, I remember thinking, oh, this is going to be such a wild and imagined land. With all the different kinds of subcultures and landscapes of Star Wars factored in. And with that, there should come some wacky-ass food.
And that's about as wacky as it gets a sausage and a piece of pita bread.
To be fair, they do have it. Oh, Jesus, I don't want to do that. It makes it sound like shit. to be fair, they do have that weird, like, Star Wars, like, it looks like a Turanian animal. On a one of those rotisseries.
Oh right.
Outside of the Ronto wrap, which makes you kind of feel like, oh, that's what I'm eating right now. But yeah, it's just a fucking hot dog, isn't it? No.
Well, if you've eaten at their like dine-in places, they try to make it look weird, but it's really just chicken cut up in squares, and it's that's basically what they serve you. But that's as weird as it gets.
Like, yeah, I thought there was going to be some more crazy food offerings in Star Wars Land.
To be fair, they have to make it like food that everybody is cool like general, with. Like something very general public friendly.
Yeah, that is a kind way of putting it. Yes. I was a little disappointed by that, but I mean, not as much as I was disappointed by like the lack of live action characters walking around the park and doing that kind of thing. But we don't have to get into that. This is snacks after all. Anyways, I think we've lambasted Ronto wraps enough here. I think let's move on to 4A or B, considering on who's saying it, and it's me. So let's go to 4A.
What was it?
4A was, God, I can't believe it. 4A, tied with Ronto wraps, is popcorn.
No way. How the fuck did you guys not have popcorn on your thing?
All right. I think we all know, if you know me from my prior work, thank you, but you also know that I am a kernel head. And to say that I am disheartened by this would be truly diplomatic of me. But you know what? Let's just move to Amanda here for first where it was on your list and and then some reaction.
I thought it was going to be way higher, so I didn't.
Oh, no, no.
I thought it was going to be way higher.
Wait
but
a
I didn't
second.
Include it because I never craved the popcorn there. But I understand that I remember specifically Ryan.
Yeah, yeah.
In college, we went to Disneyland, like, late at night. And he literally made us, or, like, I guess we just waited until the cart was closing. And then they... What is it? They give you the rest?
You know what? I'll save that little anecdote for my side here. Really, I just want to... First off...
So he has an obsession.
Amanda, 2 minutes ago, said, how did you guys not have this on your list?
I didn't.
To be followed up by her saying, well, here's the thing. I thought you guys were going to do the heavy lifting, so I didn't put it on my...
No.
What is that all about?
No, it's because everyone loves the popcorn there. I know that. I feel like... Everyone
so much
does.
Of this should be on a top five list, probably.
Not
right?
for me, no.
I'm not a kernel head, and I still put the popcorn on the list.
Right. Wait, I'm confused how it got tied.
Because
you didn't put it on the list at all. Ryan probably ranked it way too high than it should have been.
Oh, and I put ranked it really high.
I put it at number 5, which is a good place for it to be.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Disagree. Yeah. Well, let's move to Byron now, then, here.
It's some of my favorite popcorn.
You had it number 5 on your list.
Yeah, because it's some of my favorite popcorn. That being said, I don't usually like eating popcorn that much. But I love the I love the grab and go, like the vertical, like kind of box, not like this cumbersome sort of regular bucket you get in a movie theater. It's great to buy before going to a show, or even just to kill some time in line, because other snack items that you grab and go with usually take much longer to eat.
Yeah.
It's like the perfect amount of stale. If that sounds sounds bad, but I don't know.
I get what you mean. There's a sauce that goes into it.
It totally
sometimes
works.
Sometimes that's negligence.
So yeah, definitely had to make the list. It's classic.
Now, look, like I said before, we all know that I am the world's preeminent kernel head. In fact, Orville Redenbacher, who the park used to use before, did send me a care package acknowledging this fact. That they didn't say that I was the preeminent kernel head, but they did say I was a kernel head. And I believe that's the first time that any person or representative of Orville Redenbacher has actually used the term kernel head in any kind of correspondence. So, you know, you could read into that if you will. I am certainly, and I'm saying that they agree with me in that I am the world's preeminent kernel head. That's just, that's how I see it.
Ryan, since you are such a kernel head,
yes.
I'm not going to get too into this at all because this is a Disneyland resort, as in Anaheim, California.
Yes.
Podcast. But in Tokyo Disney Sea and Tokyo Disneyland, they have all these different flavors at each stand, and it's incredible.
And here's the thing. While you would think I would love that, and here's where I am a bit of an enigma. Ooh, that's hard to say. An enigma. Or, you know, other people could say douchebag. That's also fair. I'm a popcorn purist, and I don't like what you just described, Byron, is funny corn. Funny corn is any kind of popcorn that is not just
You're
the
so
simple
annoying.
Old butter and salt. The old butter and salt. Popcorn's a beautiful thing, folks. You don't need to dress it up and put it in a funny little hat.
So you're just butter and salt.
So that it could go in your stomach. In fact, sometimes I eat popcorn just kernel, just natural, all natural.
Do you have, like, techniques?
Yes, I do. I have several popcorn making devices. I own a couple pieces of popcorn paraphernalia at home, and I have different methods and techniques. And sometimes I cook it with coconut oil. Sometimes, if I want the more movie theater taste, I'll go with the canola oil.
Are you like mad at the bag popcorns?
Microwavable popcorn is a sin, and also that beyond that, it's also incredibly bad for you. It could give you cancer. I read that once. I probably Googled that or some shit.
For anyone that's more adventurous out there, go try out those Japanese popcorns. They're sweet.
You know, you guys have all the funny corn you want. Leave the normal corn for me, and we'll be good. And when it comes to normal corn, Disneyland, doing it better than most movie theater chains out there. If you thought I already talked an obscene amount about popcorn before even getting into Disneyland popcorn, then buckle up, turd nuggets, because it's about to get much worse. I have a lot to say here. First off, as far as carts in Disneyland, popcorn, best lore in the game. Every one of the popcorn carts has a personality. They each have their own little guy rotating around cooking the little kernels. And Amanda, here's how I know that was a good point, because Amanda, when I said they have their own story and personality, she laughed very disrespectfully. And then when I pointed out the little guys, her laugh turned into like a, oh yeah, that's right, that is pretty cool. And I respect that. Thank you for agreeing with me right there, even if it was just it's not able to be enjoyed by our listeners. Anyways, the guys are really fun. And when I put popcorn on my list at number 3, by the way, and now I regret not putting it higher because that would have edged this up higher on the consensus list, I was thinking of the popcorn cart specifically in front of Haunted Mansion. That's my favorite one. It has my favorite little guy. He's in his little suit, and he's going to town cranking that popcorn. And that's also the popcorn cart that I have the most memories attached to. That's also when the popcorn tasted the freshest and the hottest to me, and it's usually because I got popcorn from that cart at night. I usually get popcorn once in the day and once at night. And at night, that's when it's showtime, baby. That's when I'm going to get my spot for Fantasmic. That's when maybe I'm going for a post-dinner snack after, you know, eating in maybe New Orleans Square. What better than a hot, fresh bucket of popcorn? Especially if it's in the Halloween time, then you have the nice souvenir bucket varieties that you could get at that cart. Look, it's a beautifully done operation there at Disneyland when it comes to corn popping, and I salute them. It's some of my favorite popcorn in the world, even after they moved to Pop Secret, which I think was some kind of licensing thing. Their contract expired with Orville Redenbacher, and I was actually disappointed when I heard that because I thought maybe the popcorn won't taste as good. Happy to find that it tasted the same, which to me is a testament that there's something magical going on in those little carts. Did that sound like a sign-off from a local news station? Yeah, it did, and I stand by it, and that's where I'm going to end my little spiel here. There's something magical going on in those popcorn carts at Disneyland, California. Oh, actually, as Amanda said, one last thing to squeeze in here. This is a little trick, and I'm going to give this away as a Saddest Podcast on Earth exclusive. Here's a little trick you can do if you're a fellow kernel head out there, like myself. If you want free popcorn, and it doesn't always work, wait till the park's about to close, about 30 minutes before closing. That's usually when all the popcorn carts start shutting down for business. When that happens, they will actually take all of the popcorn that's in the cart and straight up throw it away, which is honestly disgusting, and I hate that. And so what you can do is walk over to them, and the key is here, this is very important, do not approach them when they're about to take the popcorn out to discard it in the trash. Do not do that, because what's going to happen is they're going to go, oh no, it's still in the cart, let me charge you for this. What you do is you wait for them to put the popcorn in a trash bag, which is what they do, and watch them walk over to a nearby trash can. And as they're about to put it in the trash can, then you stop them and go, hey, I see you're about to throw that away. Why not just give it to me instead? And it's worked before. It hasn't worked every time, but it has worked before because some cast members see the value in not wasting a beautiful thing like popcorn.
And it'll definitely impress your first date.
I mean, it probably won't. It'll probably make them think you're a trash monkey. And if they think that, then they're not worth dating. That's just the hard fact of life.
I'm surprised you gave this confidential information away.
Well, here's the thing.
What if you have a little line of people now? Well, luckily no one will be watching this show.
Well, no one's listening to this podcast, first off. And if they are, it's in so few of an amount that we're all kind of like a band of brothers now. And I feel kind of emboldened to give away a strategy like this. Also, any kernel not wasted, if you want to attribute that to me, that's I could sleep soundly at night thinking that, because you know, think of all the unused popcorn that's not going to go to waste now. Now it's just going to be filling the bellies of all of my delightful little kernel heads out there, and it's going to be a happy day for us. So I think that's about it. Maybe I'll think of some more stuff later. If anybody's still listening, let's move to number three. That's because number four and five were taken by a tie. On to number three. Here we go. Number three. Now, these three are going to... I mean, everyone knows these fellas, by the way. Number three, churros. Now, I mean, I think we could all agree that this makes sense. That being said, let's move to Amanda with where it was on your list.
I didn't have it because I thought it was too easy.
Damn. Now I know how this got to number three.
Okay, it was not on your list.
For me personally, I have things that I get every single time. My list is very much a me list.
That's apparent.
Yeah.
All right, what do you think of churros, though?
Oh, it's amazing there. But I still wouldn't get it every time.
But
I get it as a treat, but not like often as a snack.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's fair. That I think we just...
That's like that Yelper that does best meal of my life, 3 out of 5.
Best meal of my life, 3 out of 5. Do you not like the churros? Why are they not an every-time visit snack for you?
They would be like an honorable mention.
An honorable mention. I could see that.
Same with popcorn for me, so...
Look, I'm also not the biggest churro head myself. But
I understand the like the hype,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah.
But I can do without mentioning it, I think. Because you, I knew you guys would mention it.
You know, I respect you standing by that.
Mm-hmm.
I respect that. That is respectable. Because it's one of those that's like probably on many people's top five snacks. Like if you look up like top five Disney foods on YouTube, I'm sure it's like in almost all of them.
I'm so curious about number one now.
It's gonna be let's just move to, what do you think about churros, Byron? Where do you have it in your list? And
it was my number one.
It was your number one.
It was my number one. I don't know. It's a staple of Disneyland. Every time I'm walking around with that thing, it feels like I'm like holding a trophy around the park.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, if you want to pull a real flex, if you have two of them, even better. The more you could, you know, afford.
You're double fist in churros.
Double fist in churros.
That's crazy, man.
It's I graduated to that.
You can't even get out.
But it's more of like a flex for show, and you usually end up sharing it with somebody.
But that also makes you less efficient in the park. Like you're now not hands free. You can't take out your fast passes.
I'm hands free pretty quick.
What, do you have like a holster? You have a churro holster?
Dude, they last like 1 minute.
That's
least the first one's gone in like 1 minute. And you usually grab them like either like right outside Haunted Mansion or something, right before you get in line late at night. It's a good Haunted Mansion queue.
That is true. I've been to Disneyland several times with Byron, and he's mowing down those churros like a beaver building a dam. It's just fucking disappearing in seconds.
Oh, and if you want a fun history lesson,
I'd love one.
The churro came to Disneyland in 1985, I believe. It was when Videopolis was opening. This is when Michael Eisner needed to bring a cool hip dance club for the
teens.
I
remember Videopolis, yes. I wasn't alive, but I do remember. I heard of it.
The guy that was running food and beverage at Disneyland during the time Videopolis was open was tasked with coming up with a cool hip thing to get for the Videopolis guests.
Yeah.
And one day at a racing event, it was the Long Beach Grand Prix, he noticed this churro cart, hunted down one of the empty boxes, found the company that made them.
In the trash, by the way. He found it in the trash.
Contacted them and basically asked them if they'd work with Disneyland. And the big difference is he asked them to make them 12 inches long as opposed to 6 inches long. And that was a very good move because that definitely catches the eye. And you think Disneyland churro when you think of people walking around these long, vertical, 12-inch churros.
Now, would you say that Disneyland played a large part into bringing churros into
the zeitgeist?
Into mainstream consciousness as like one of like the household name snacks out there? I think it did.
Kind of, yeah.
If that's culturally insensitive, I don't know where I was going with there. It might be.
It was definitely the first. There were no other places besides Disneyland that I saw as a kid have churros.
That's true. That is true. And we're in California, too,
mm-hmm.
where there is a large Hispanic population. And as also, like, yeah, the only place I saw it, no, I can't recall. And I'm like, I'm half Mexican, and I've never saw it.
Because they're very popular in Spain where it's not a, you know, it's not a vertical, it's like they make a spiral out of it. It's as neat. It's like kind of a bit of a mess. You dip it in chocolate and stuff. So churros have definitely been around, but Disneyland popularized their own version.
They also supersized it too, which helped.
Yeah, you're walking around with the trophy. It's amazing.
It looks hilarious.
You guys are making me sad. Disneyland appropriated churros.
Did they?
It's their own kind of churro. There's not.
Yeah,
no,
like
but
it.
You
could
know,
see it as like, that, or you could see it as they brought something that was kind of like a B-side when it came to cultural foods.
And then they marketed it really well.
And they made it into something that now everyone knows what it is. And now more people are eating churros in general. You could get them at a bowling alley. I will say that of all the Disneyland snacks, other than my number one choice, which we'll get into later, this has probably the second highest curb appeal, in that like it inspires jealousy when you see someone have it.
When they like shake the sugar on it, oof.
It's pretty good. It also smells. It's definitely up there in aroma. Like
right.
I love the smell of popcorn because popcorn's my favorite thing on earth. So I'm pretty much just I'm helpless when I walk past those carts. But I'm not the biggest churro fan, and I will say that is impressive in the sense that when I walk by a churro cart, I want one. Even though I'm not the biggest churro guy or sweets guy, to be honest. I love those churros. I'm not going to lie. And Disneyland's the only place where I buy them. Because they sell those now almost everywhere. They sell them, what, like in like movie theaters?
I also miss when they were $2 back when we were 10
that.
Years old.
Yeah. Now you're paying for that churro, but...
I remember being in grade school and being like, oh my God, they're $2.50 now. What are, like, oh, I'm still going to buy them, but.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to not buy it. So churros are a must buy for you when you walk in the park, for the most part. If you're buying something, if you're eating something at the park, you're munching on a churro.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So for me, Disneyland popcorn is not the best popcorn. I'll say that. For you, are Disneyland churros the best churros? For me, they are, actually, and I'm surprised by that.
I'll still stand by it being the best churro. I did have a churro recently that I thought, this is better than Disneyland, but a lot of that had to do with, wow, this tastes very much like Disneyland.
Here's another thing about churros, and we can move to me here. By the way, I had churros at number 5 on my list. They just made it, because I'm not the biggest fan of them, but I had to give respect where respect is due. Churros got to make that list. I'll say this about churros, because Byron covered everything pretty well there. One of the things I love about churros is they're like a top-tier ride line food, especially at night. I don't ever get the churros during the day, but there's something about the glow of that churro cart at night that just kind of beckons to you. It's like the siren song of the Disneyland Resort. It makes you hungry, even if you're not hungry, just with the aroma. And then you get that churro at night, you go wait in, for example, if it's a dark winter night, you're waiting in line for like Matterhorn or something. The warmth of that churro on your hand is so goddamn delightful. Because not only is it something delicious that's in your mouth, it's warming your little belly up, and it's also keeping you warm in general. It's fantastic. It's up there in just like moments of pure bliss and joy. I love it. And it's really one of those things that makes me truly feel like I'm at Disneyland, because like I'm not getting churros anywhere else. Popcorn, I'm eating on the daily. Perhaps I'm eating too much popcorn, addicted to corn. But churros, it's only once I enter the gates of the Magic Kingdom. And I'm talking about Disneyland. I know there's the Magic Kingdom in Walt Disney
World.
Do you
think he'll mention popcorn and relate popcorn to every item we list?
Look, I'm not going to say...
It might become an interwoven theme.
It might, yeah, and that's fine, because popcorn is not only ever interwoven into Disneyland discourse for me, it's interwoven into life discourse. I think you could talk about popcorn as a metaphor for life, but we don't need to get into that. This is not a philosophy podcast. That is Ryan's popcorn philosophy on Thursdays.
So far, I think your dissatisfaction with these lists can only be blamed on one thing making it on there.
That's true, yeah. Yeah,
that pisses you off, and then the whole list is in shambles.
It's because it delegitimizes the
so
list.
So not only so popcorn makes the list, but it is not it's not his number one there.
That's fair.
The list is completely trash. It's Guardians of the Galaxy slips onto the list. Not even like a top one, just slips onto a list.
Look, I'm being diplomatic here, I think. I am not upset. I actually agree with the ranking of churro over popcorn. I did not personally rank it that because I'm a maniac when it comes to popcorn. So like I think I'm kind of like a glitch in the matrix, if you will, there. I totally understand and think that churros should be ranked over popcorn. Do I think that they should have been each higher on the list? Perhaps. I think perhaps.
It is weird not having churro or... I'm looking at you, Amanda.
Or popcorn.
I have an idea what one of them could be.
Number one is a top dog that we all are going to agree on. We'll just say that. So let's get to number two. Actually, you know what? Oh, I'm just looking at this list. Okay, number two is Dole Whip.
Okay.
Now, I mean, look... Let's just move to the reactions here. Amanda, where did you have it on your list, and what do you think?
I had it at number 4. I feel like that one is just a solid... That's an easy one that I don't think I've ever been disappointed by a Dole Whip.
No, neither have I.
And I recently just tried the homemade one that they released like a recipe for it.
Oh, yeah, they released the stay-at-home recipes.
Mm-hmm. That's funny, because I attempted the churros for that.
Oh,
how'd those turn out,
by the way? That, I feel like that one sucks, right?
It was good. It just I needed better equipment, because like the crunch and the taste was accurate on the outside of them, but they just weren't dense enough. And I mean, I if I actually made them as good as Disneyland's, I'd be a little disheartened.
How easy it is.
I almost didn't want to recreate it, because it would just make me miss the actual product that much more. And it also is a testament to, like, I wonder if it's actually as good. I also didn't want to discover that it's not even that good.
Well, I will say, the Dole Whip is, like, store, like, it's a store-bought.
Yeah. Is it good?
I feel like we're tricked. I think we're lied to a little bit, thinking that any of these products are, like, very unique.
Whatever, Amanda.
Because I remember finding out hot chocolate, which I really like.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just Nestle with like yeah. pixie dust or something.
I considered putting the Toll House cookie sandwiches on this
yeah.
list. They're Nestle, but it's still an awesome thing I like to eat at Disneyland.
It's so good.
Amanda, you're at a. Is that all you got on Dole Whip, by the way?
Yeah, I think it's just consistent.
Moving to Byron now. Where'd you have this on your list?
Dole Whip was not on my list.
It was not on your list. Interesting.
The Dole Whip was not on my list. It was originally, and then I quickly took it off.
Now, why would you do that?
And had the popcorn slip in there.
Okay, then we'll okay, well, you know, you got to get that popcorn. You got to have the popcorn.
I only had the Dole Whip on there out of respect. I know everyone loves the Dole Whip.
Yeah, yeah.
It just doesn't do it for my palate. I still enjoy getting it once in a while.
Yeah.
But every time someone wants a Dole Whip, I'm usually like more of the guy that wants the milkshake.
That's fair. You know, that's fair.
But that being said, Dole Whip is a Disneyland staple, and I'm happy that it's high on this list.
Yeah. And you know, from now we're going to move to me here. Look, this is going to be another long-winded one, folks, so buckle up here. Dole Whip, number one on my list. And here's the thing. First off, let's just ignore for a second here that it is fucking delicious, because it is so goddamn refreshing while also being kind of like creamy and savory. It's the only sweet I could think of, like ice cream, where I'm like, that's a savory cream right there. It's really good. It's always satisfying. And above all, it's now, I mean, I guess there are some places that serve it as like kind of ripoffs. It is the only place you could really get a Dole Whip from. Disneyland is the only place. And I guess like now Disney World and other Disney resorts. But, you know, within the parks is the only place you can get a Dole Whip. The popcorn, you could get popcorn anywhere. You could get a lot of the treats we've mentioned at other places. But Dole Whip, you want a Dole Whip, you're driving down to Anaheim. That's how you're going to get it. And it's fantastic. There's also kind of like little tricks you could do. You could, a lot of people, like suckers, wait on the outside on the Adventureland Bridge. This is back before there was Tropical Hideaway. And you would have to wait in that long line. You could also go into the Tiki Room and wait from the inside, which was a veteran trick there. But now it's at Tropical Hideaway, so it's even more easily accessible. I actually thought that making it more easy to get to would, in a way, kind of diminish its value. It didn't. It just made me hungry, you know, for more Dole Whip, because it's freaking delicious. It's perfect on a sunny day, but I also find that it's not too disturbing on a cold night either. And this is not even considering Dole Whip Float, which, by the way, I put Dole Whip, but in parentheses, I also put and possibly Float if I'm feeling floaty that day. The pineapple juice, delicious, and you mix it with the ice cream, it really does kind of drive home the creaminess of the ice cream. I don't know how they make this. I saw that there was a recipe. I didn't try to make it myself because I refused to believe that it could be made anywhere else but at the Tiki Room. And Amanda's probably right. It's probably some kind of like pre-made solution. And I can't afford to think like that. I won't.
You know? Think it's like real pineapples that they chopped up and grew?
Yeah, I think so. I think Mickey's out there. He's got his own irrigation system. He's got his own little farm. And he's putting his people to work making these Dole Whips. He's growing these pineapples. He's cutting them up. It's up there in terms of being synonymous with Disneyland to me. And it always just puts a smile on my face. And also, bonus, they give you those fun little umbrellas that they give you in tiki drinks, and you can wear that in your hair or something like that, or put it in like a pocket on your button up or something like that. So that's also fun. It's a delightful thing. And before I had mentioned curb appeal, this also to me has the best curb appeal in the park. For me, when I see someone walking around with a Dole Whip, especially if it's one of those hot California days, you know, when you're in the dog days of summer, you need to get a Dole Whip. You need to get that Dole Whip. I'm running over to the Tiki Room every time I see somebody with one of these bad boys. I think it's a wonderful treat. It's definitely a top five snack, and if it was up to me, it'd be number one. That being said, Let's move to number one here. I think this is not going to be a surprise to anybody. But before we get into number one, let's have a quick word from our sponsor. Wow, thank you for sponsoring this very educational and important podcast. Let's move to number one, though, shall we? It's the corn dog. Oh, we all know it. We all love it. It makes sense that this is number one. Now, I could probably imagine that there's a lot of people out there who are thinking, hey, Ryan, corn dog, is that's not a snack. That's a meal. And to that, I say, shut up. It's not. I don't think so. I consider it a snack.
So what's the difference between that and, like, the chicken tenders, which you alluded to?
Well, the chicken tenders, those usually come with fries and, like, dipping sauce. Like, you're not walking around with a plate of tenders. You look like a psychopath if you're doing that. A corn dog, you could ditch the plate altogether, and now you're just holding the dog with the stick. You know, you're just holding it like a popsicle. It's much like a popsicle, and actually, other than the fact that it's warm and battered.
So the turkey leg is a snack.
The turkey leg is a snack, I would say. I've never eaten...
You know,
it's grab and go.
It's a big boy snack.
It's a snack when you're burning through calories at a rapid rate,
of steps in at the parks. You gotta keep it going. You gotta keep yourself energized.
You need sustenance, and sometimes that comes in the form of a 40-pound turkey leg, or a delicious and delightful corn dog. Look, I think it's a snack. It's grab and go. Let's just leave it at that. And if you don't consider that a snack, then just substitute the old Dole Whip into number one, if you know what I mean. Anyways, moving on to Amanda. Amanda, where was corn dogs on your list? And what do you think here?
It was number one.
Yeah, there you go.
I think this one I get every single time. But I actually eat it as a meal. Usually when people are visiting Disneyland for the first time, you tell them that's the one thing they're always asking for, too. In terms of, like, tips. And I always tell them to go to, like, a Stage Door.
Stage Door Cafe?
Yeah.
Like the one
that's behind Golden Horseshoe?
That window always is, like, an easy corn dog for people.
Wait a tick.
Yeah.
They just did chicken.
You're sending them to not the Red Wagon?
Well, no, I tell them that exists, but if they don't want to wait in that line, go to the other one. Like, that one's the original, and I understand that. But some tourists or visitors... some first-time guests don't care as much as us.
Here's my psychosis, though. Do you believe it's the same corn dog that they serve at the Little Red Wagon?
Corn dog castle.
I'm not going to get a corn dog there, though, because I refuse to believe that it's the same corn dog.
Aren't you just hungry and you just want to eat?
I got to get it from that Red Wagon.
Me too. It's got to.
And you know what? I also choose obscure hours to get that corn dog.
Yeah, yeah.
So that the line is not as long. Obscure hours that are, you could usually qualify it as a snack.
Why can't
during
you guys
those
just
hours.
Like eat?
So it's a very big snack.
Because it has to be story. It has to be all part of the story, Amanda. And to me, ordering a corn dog or a snack at the Disneyland Resort isn't about just the food going in my mouth. It's about the story that's being told. And to me, getting a corn dog from the Little Red Wagon means that it's a masterpiece in food storytelling.
I will say they are very greasy corn dogs, which probably like lends a hand to how good they taste.
It's
I put it number two on my list.
Number two.
I think I would have put it number one if it wasn't as greasy, because I get a little I lose a little bit of comfort there. It's really heavy, but God, as if it isn't so delicious.
It's a delightful food.
And you know what? It's one of the, I think it's one of the more economical, economically sound choices to make.
Yeah.
If you want a really big snack that is in no way a meal.
Oof.
But could definitely count as a meal.
Yeah, number one, corn dogs was also high on my list. It was number two, second to, as I mentioned before, Dole Whip. I think this is the best corn dog in the world. I believe that, and I stand by it. And the reason why I believe that is because I don't order corn dogs anywhere else, just like I don't order churros anywhere else. I've been to Hot Dog on a Stick before. It's all right. It's not great. Good lemonade, though. But not the best corn dog when it's in comparison to this Disneyland behemoth. First off, these corn dogs are fucking huge. It's like a goddamn baby's arm.
They shove a loaf of cornbread just on top of like a regular hot dog.
Ooh, and the crispier, the better.
That's the thing about this corn dog that's a mystery to me. Not only is the batter thick and kind of fluffy, but it's also got this crazy crispy exterior.
God damn it. Perfectly fried.
That is perfectly fried. It's perfectly balanced. And it's also enormous. But weirdly, and this is the weird part, as Byron said, they're greasy, they're crispy, there's a lot of dough on this bad boy, lots of batter. But I never feel like a piece of shit after I eat it. And that's
amazing.
That might be a testament.
I always feel like a piece of shit, but I'm a very happy piece of shit.
Well, I'm also a human garbage can. So that could be why I don't feel like a piece of shit.
And you're never mad about how much meat. You know, like, usually corn dogs, they're I'm unsatisfied with the batter or the meat. And this one, it's just fucking huge. So.
No, there's always enough meat. In fact, sometimes there is leftover batter, and I'm thrilled. Every single time there's leftover batter, it's like, wow, I got more batter to enjoy. Because honestly, let's be honest, the dog isn't that great. It's the batter that makes this corn dog delicious.
That makes it unique. That makes it the best.
And also, like, that's also why I don't consider it a meal as much. Because I have, don't get me wrong, I've eaten this corn dog as a meal when I'm in a pinch. Like, if I'm, like, rushing to a fast pass, or maybe I'm trying to grab some early seats for Fantasmic, or even the fireworks. Maybe I got some folks in town, and I need to roll out the red carpet for them. I need to get those seats. So to do that, I'm getting a quick meal for myself, which is a corn dog. But in general, like Byron said, I'm going there at obscure times in the day to just get a nice little snack to munch on throughout the day. It's a delicious food. Also, the same thing as the churros. It warms you up. Great nighttime food. And in the daytime, it feels like something you'd eat at a fair. So, I don't know. For my money, it's the best corn dog on earth, and I'm talking specifically about the Little Red Wagon on Main Street. Not about any backdoor location, where, as Amanda says, you could go to the Stage Door Cafe if you want to have them hand it to you outside the back of the Golden Horseshoe like you're stealing them.
I believe in efficiency over story. Okay.
It just doesn't feel right, Amanda. They're not the same. The same, and the Corn Dog Castle, you know, look, it's probably the same corn dog. I sound like a crazy person here, but the Corn Dog Castle, I refuse to believe it's the same corn dog. It just doesn't feel the same. Also, like, I enjoy waiting in that line. Maybe that's crazy. I enjoy waiting in the line because here's the thing. I like sometimes going to Disneyland and not getting on any rides, and just sitting on a bench on Main Street, and I just take in the ambience. I'll watch all the people from all around the world come and walk down this one unified street. I'll look at all the shops. I'll smell the little smells coming into my nose. And
do you ever people watch?
I do.
Like tourists that have never tried food, and you're just like watching, like you're creepishly staring at them. I'm like, ooh, are they gonna love it as much as I do?
And here's the thing too.
That's what I'd be doing in the corn dog line.
And you're gonna get so mad if they're like. They just look mad. I'm like, you have a corn dog in your hand. It's delicious.
They just like walk it over the trash.
Yeah.
And that's why I encourage any of you who stand in line for the corn dog on Main Street for the Little Red Wagon to grin to an almost disturbing level. Like smile like a madman to make people think, wow, why am I not in line for what that person's in line for? Because it looks fantastic. Because I will say the first time I ever had this corn dog, I actually didn't discover it through like forums or anything. I was quite small. I just saw a big line for this little red cart. And I was like, why are all these people standing in line for a cart? And I saw one of them walk out with this monstrosity. And I thought, I need that in my stomach, even though it was probably the size of me at that time.
I like that that hot summer day. Middle-aged dad like walking away with that corn dog and taking a bite, and then his eyebrows go up like, wow, that was much better than like I was just going for a corn dog and this is, what the hell is this?
Also, perhaps as Byron said, the most economical option at the park when it comes to bang for your buck. This is, you're going to be satisfied with this, and it's going to come at a cheaper cost than most items at the resort. I think they're actually adequately priced at the $6 or so that they're at. That's, of course, if you don't get the apple slices or the chips. It's a delightful food. We don't need to dwell on this anymore. Stand in line for the Little Red Wagon. Or go and have it handed to you out the back of the Golden Horseshoe like you're pulling off some kind of corn dog heist.
At the Stage Door, they're doing all sorts of different foods there. Little Red Wagon, their one and only craft. And they're making sure they nail it every single time. They got nothing else. Those apples are already prepackaged. It's
but
just
also,
corn
like,
dogs,
you have,
baby.
Like, a fast pass to get to, and you need to make
it's the, look,
a time.
You going to eat corn dogs from the Stage Door Cafe because it's just the same corn dog is like taking your child onto the Golden Zephyr and saying it's just like Dumbo. It goes in a circle. It's the same ride.
I would argue
in fact,
it is.
It's not. It's not the same ride.
You
it's
should
the
ask.
Storytelling that pushes it over the edge. You're sitting in a you're sitting in an elephant or you're sitting in a rocket. It's the same ride, but it's not as satisfying.
Okay, I will
as going
get,
on Dumbo.
When you're in a queue, or it's not queue. What am I saying? When you're in line for the cart,
yeah,
I would agree that the smells at Plaza Inn beats the fucking Golden Horseshoe.
Yeah.
Scent.
Just ask the cast members next time you're over there how long they've been applying to get transferred to the Little Red Wagon.
They're so mad.
I mean, that also looks like a shitty job, though.
Yeah. Agreed.
That's what you're saying, right? No, or would you actually want to be in that sweaty little car?
Look, you're the A-team. Like that's the elite. That's the elite corn dog.
That looks like a.
There's a lot of pride that goes into you know. I mean, it's no different than all these food carts. Like if you're in a Kogi truck,
that's
or something
another
like that
podcast.
Here.
That's
episode.
True, but it just seems like a thankless task. Like they're not making corn dogs as much as they're just churning them out.
They're making it's happiness.
It's a goddamn machine in that cart. I've never seen one person who's working that cart look bored. They always look like they're scared for their goddamn life because they're looking regularly every 5 seconds at a person who looks like me.
They're in the zone, man.
That is like, this is the greatest moment of the day for them and they can't ruin it for them. Could you imagine working with stakes like that at your job? That's insane. If somebody was leering over your shoulder looking at you type up spreadsheets expecting for you to deliver with the... if you don't deliver it ruins their day that's
no,
crazy
they got it down they can handle the pressure Ryan
I guess
you gotta have more faith in these cast members
maybe I don't have enough faith I just feel like it looks like
they're the best of the best and that's why they taste so good and that's why it's number one on our list
I'm gonna call it uncomfortable in there but that's just me but happy you're doing it you're doing the Lord's work in there making these corn dogs then and please don't put the recipe out there I just burped don't put the recipe out there because I don't want to know I don't want anyone else to know. I want it to remain a Disney secret. Anyways, if anybody's still listening here, we're going to move into honorable mentions now. These are things that didn't make the list that we thought should have. And we're going to go one by one. We're each going to get one honorable mention. Let's start with Amanda.
I would say, as as said before, the hot chocolate.
No, wait a second. wait. Look, here, I'll allow it. And
this one hurts me so bad because I actually get it every single time I'm there.
I know, but it's not a snack. I don't know what to tell you.
You want to like hold that, like holster that in case we ever made it to like a beverage top five?
Like, it's a drink. Like, I just don't like if someone was like, hey, man, we should get a snack. And if you replied, oh, yeah, let's go grab a beer. I'd be like, what are you talking? I said a snack, you psychopath. What are you talking about?
Okay. Wait.
Even weirder if they were like, yeah, hot chocolate. This doesn't make any sense. Well, look, we're going to have a top five drinks eventually. But because you do get it every time,
okay,
I will. I think it's fair to put it as an honorable mention.
And if it's like a real honorable mention, then it could be the cookies and cream Mickey's ice cream.
Ooh, then that's a good that's a good damn snack
because
right there.
That is definitely not like special.
Yeah.
But it feels special there.
It's because it's Mickey.
Yeah.
And if you pair that with the hot chocolate,
oh,
now you're.
Fuck.
Now you're cooking.
That, look what I just did.
Now you're cooking with
that's
grease.
That's what it was.
Yeah, it's a the mix of. I'm a big fan of mixing hot and cold sensations, like a cold beer in a hot tub. Or a hot tea out on a cold mountain day. Those are great things. Pairing hot chocolate with a Mickey's ice cream sandwich, that's some god-tier shit right there. That's amazing. Yeah. You know what, Amanda, though? I think you should talk about your hot chocolate. I'm not here to squash joy. Except I am.
Well,
but not in this case.
No, I'm kind of convinced now that it's not a snack.
No, see, now I feel guilty.
I'm completely down to give in to it because... Well, okay, similar to the corn dog situation, I know my spots to get hot chocolate if the lines are too long. And they're all the same fucking chocolate.
Yeah,
it's just
yeah.
Nestle.
I don't feel the same kind of like, oh, that hot chocolate's not the same.
Yeah.
Though they do have delicious Abuelita at a
Jolly Holiday.
Yeah, Jolly Holiday. Holy shit, it's so good. Another delicious. I mean,
and
look,
during the holidays, hot chocolate is with peppermint. I think year round, that's just something I grew up getting. Because usually I go at night, for an hour or 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's usually at night. And then I feel like that's always such a good thing to eat. Even on the way out of the park, I buy a hot chocolate for the walk to the fucking park structure. Just because it's just like a lovely walk.
That's true.
It is nice walking down Main Street.
But it's cold as fuck on the tram, so.
Yeah, without fail, I have to do it.
Tell me about
it.
That Mickey and Friends.
Gotta do the hot chocolate.
When you go to the park, sometimes actually, I find that when I go to the park in the winter, I'm usually prepared for that really brisk ride back to Mickey and Friends parking structure in the tram. So I usually have like a winter jacket on, so it's fine. It's the summer nights that sneak up on you because you don't have a jacket with you. And now all of a sudden you're getting blasted with that wind from not only the tram, but like the nearby freeway.
Yep.
And it's so fucking cold. So having a hot chocolate for that is a clutch veteran move, I will say. It's good. It's good hot chocolate. It's actually the only place I get hot chocolate now that I think about it, because I'm not sitting down to make a cup of hot chocolate at home because, you know, I don't sleep on a race car bed.
I will say I have a Nestle.
I do.
Me and Byron understand.
And like sometimes if you ever like work in an office that happens to have Swiss Miss packets during the holiday, I'll pocket a couple of those and take them home.
Holy shit, do I want hot chocolate now? I think I might want hot chocolate now. Anyways.
Welcome aboard.
Let's move to the honorable mention for Byron.
My honorable mention is specifically the fudge cubes from the Main Street Confectionery.
I respect that a lot.
I couldn't put it on the top five because it's too obscure, but I love the times when I leave the park, and it's typically one of those tram nights that I want to enjoy a snack that takes a long time to consume. So I'll ask for one of those chocolate fudge cubes. They have different flavors. I go with just the straight up purest chocolate fudge, and I ask them to give me a plastic knife so that I could carve away at it and enjoy it on the tram ride and all the way back to the car. That confectionery also has a bunch of other stuff you could get on the way out. I'm surprised that the caramel apples didn't make it on this list. Did anyone put that on their list?
I didn't.
I'm never like super
I'm not
into
really
them.
Into it personally, but I can respect that, you know, a lot of people love it. So yeah. I was just surprised
it's
didn't.
Cute, but I feel like, does it taste good?
Yeah, I'm just not the biggest caramel apple or caramel. I don't give a shit. Whatever. Whatever pronunciation it is, I'm not a big fan of those apples. I'm not a big fan of those apples. Let's move on to, is that all you got on fudge, Byron?
That was pretty much it.
I'm going to move to my honorable mention then here. This was in my top five. It did not make the consensus top five, for good reason. And I would have been shocked if anybody had even listed this. But let's just go with it. My honorable mention is, I don't even know if they have a name, but it's the very chunky pickles that are available throughout
the
resort.
The what?
Chunky pickles.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now, these pickles, they've got some mass to them.
No, I completely understand why you picked the pickles.
These pickles, if you cut this bad boy in half, that cross-section, the diameter of that pickle is like akin to a fucking cheese wheel. It's insanely thick. They're big boys. And they also now sell the pickles in both the normal and also spicy pickle variety. This is also, I love eating pickles at home, but the pickles at Disneyland, they hit different. There's something about them that are so refreshing, and the right amount of crunch to juice ratio on a pickle. I don't like when my pickles are a little too soft and juicy because it's like you want good crunch on a pickle. You know what I'm saying?
When you bite
into a pickle, you want snap.
Is it like, okay, have you been to Knott's?
I've been to Knott's, yes.
Do you like the pickles at Knott's or Disneyland?
I haven't had the pickles at Knott's because I've never thought to eat them there, to be honest.
Apparently it's a thing there too.
Interesting.
It's like a mini war.
I'd like to compare pickles, and taking out of context, that could
typical.
End me.
Typical.
I'd like to do a pickle off in between Disneyland and Knott's, but we're not here to do that today. I'm here to tell you that pickles were number four on my list. Chunky pickles. I don't know what they're called. I usually get them either at the Adventureland Bazaar, that little market right by Jungle Cruise, or I get them at that little fruit cart where I also either get, I sometimes get a sliced mango there with tahini, which is also delicious. But you could get that at like Ralph's. These pickles are special to Disneyland. The fruit cart is right by the Country Bear restaurant, or as I like to call it, stroller parking. Because that's all. No one uses that part of the fucking park. But whenever I find myself in that neck of the woods, I'm getting this pickle. It's chunky. It's delicious. It's nutritious. And it's very satisfying. And it's a delightful crunch-to-juice ratio. And the flavor of the pickle is also great. And it on a hot day, it's so goddamn refreshing. It feels like it lasts longer than it should just because it's so damn chunky.
I'm surprised I've never seen you eat one of these.
You know, it's once in a blue moon. But every time I get it, I'm like, I should get this pickle more often. In fact, the pickle is so good, it once resulted in me briefly losing my father. Not like in like a... like we got into an argument or anything. He just, I guess he didn't tell us that he was going to get a pickle, and we were just walking, steaming, rolling ahead to our next fast pass. We got in line and realized that our dad was nowhere to be seen. It's because he was getting a pickle baby. That's why he was gone. Because this pickle was so, the siren song of this pickle cart was just too much for Steve Bergara to handle. I love these pickles, and, I'm not afraid to say it. I don't know if anybody else shares the love of these pickles, and I don't care.
I'm sad you like brushed over the mango.
Yeah, like you have like mangoes in your list. And look, I actually almost thought about putting them in my list, but the more I thought about it, I was like, there's nothing special about those mangoes, though. Like,
no.
Like,
but
feature-wise,
there's nothing special about the anything.
The pickle is huge. You go. Where do you get that
Everything
pickle?
Everything is outsourced. From somewhere.
So, could someone tell me where you get that pickle from? It's, that pickle is like fucking...
Ryan has his needs.
That pickle is GMO'd to hell. That thing is... There's no way that pickle is kosher. Kosher dill. Anyways. No, but I don't know where you get that pickle anywhere else. Like, I've been to Ralph's. I've seen pickles there. They got like the standard ones. They don't have pickles that are the size of the fucking jar, which is what that pickle is. Anyways, that's enough pickle talk. Let's move into our dishonorable mentions, one each. This is the worst thing of this list category. And we'll start with Amanda.
I put the snacks at Blue... What is it? Blue Cantina? No, Oga's Cantina.
Oh,
sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. Oga's Cantina. I've only been there like twice, but I remember them offering me bar snacks. And they're fucking disgusting.
They're included with your drinks, right?
Oh, you're talking about the little nuts?
They're free, by the way. They're free. But
oh,
I still
damn.
Think they're disgusting.
I actually didn't mind them when I was there.
Really?
Mainly it's because they're free.
Yeah, they just come with the...
I know. I just feel like there's Asian snacks that are very similar. That they're
oh,
trying
yes,
to
yes.
make them
I know what
like
you're talking about.
Own,
yeah.
And they're actually bullshit.
Yeah, I know which Asian snacks you're... like, because there's a rice cracker in there that's mm-hmm. very similar to like Simbae.
It's like really stale... Asian snacks.
You know what? After that description, you might have not fully convinced me, but I now understand what you're saying. Well, you're really stuck on Batuu for this.
Yeah.
This top five Disney snacks episode.
Oh, yes. You know what?
Which, by the way, did we talk about...
Good Spires or whatever say there.
Did you already bring up the popcorn at Galaxy's Edge? Because I was going to wonder, if you're such a purist about not having flavors and stuff like that, the Galaxy's Edge
that
popcorn does not do it for
that
you.
That popcorn
right?
cart could... go to hell.
The colors or whatever?
Whatever they're doing, you know.
Yeah.
They're throwing sugar on the popcorn there. They're putting some like fancy bells and whistles on something that
seeing the hurt in his eyes like when he's describing he's got a very somber look on his face.
He's like looking in the sky.
I'm a popcorn activist and stop ruining our popcorn by putting sweets and stuff on it. It's you know, stop making it what it's not. It's already a perfect thing. It's one of the more organic and kinetic things that you could put in your mouth.
You're having that old man moment.
It is. I realize I'm coming off fully as get off my lawn here, not my popcorn.
To
whatever.
Be fair, I feel that way when they start doing shit to the churros, too.
Yeah,
so.
I don't need the dip for the churro. It was already perfect. Is that not, is
well,
perfection
just like,
not enough?
They do that, like, they put, like, other, like... like themed
sprinkles
stuff on it
shit.
Now and then charge an extra like $5 and
You know, people just go too far sometimes. Just leave it alone. Leave the popcorn alone.
I feel the same way with beignets. They do like those fancy beignets, like pumpkin, peppermint.
I'm really surprised.
Yeah.
What was your? Are we on your dishonorable mention yet, Byron?
No.
Let's move to that.
My dishonorable mention is going to be. I'm surprised that we have not put. Have we put any California Adventure?
No California. You know, I thought about putting Clarabelle's on here. And I guess we did talk about Corn Dog Castle. So technically,
we brought California, it up.
It is the same corn dog if you believe in that sort of thing.
I would mention that in the Red Wagon corn dog. It's not the same.
I would mention California Adventure for like food, like dining.
Oh, like Disney, like the Food and Wine Festival.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't get that year round.
Yeah.
Like the sit down stuff is pretty good, right?
You know, when Disney inevitably sponsors this podcast, because they're going to sponsor it once they hear the quality that we stick to here.
I think we're going to get a cease and desist before we get that.
They're going to ask us to plug. They're going to ask us to do a top five food and wine festival list. Get at it, Disney. If you really want that delicious engagement.
All for it.
You know where to come, baby. The number 7 podcast for theme parks. This is probably way worse than that. We're probably like number 40. I have no idea. I don't know what the landscape looks like. We didn't do any market research. So... Byron, did we ever get to your dishonorable mention?
No, and Disney, if you are listening,
yeah.
My dishonorable mention is Jack Cookie Num Nums.
I 100%
agree.
Oh,
yes.
I totally agree.
Outside the Incredicoaster.
Yeah, here's the deal. I'm not going to say that cookie tastes bad, but it's hard to mess up a chocolate chip cookie, and you could probably find better chocolate chip cookies in the Disneyland Resort.
Yeah.
But the fact that, like, they tried to make... eating cookies synonymous with riding a roller coaster. It's just really weird. It's really kind of tacky.
But Byron,
you get right off the ride and the first thing you think of after getting off a roller coaster is, oh, I want some milk and cookies for $12.
But Byron, the synergy.
Huh?
Cookies, chocolate chip cookies, in fact, are in the plot of Incredicoaster. They
I know he
that
has
tunnel
a,
full of the
you
cookies.
You get a walk. You get the scent of the cookies as you go down because that's the first. Like that's exactly what I want to think of when I'm on a roller coaster.
But wouldn't you think the synergy?
I guess
would
it's part of the film
better
too.
Cookies
without spoiling anything.
That's true. That's a good point.
The cookies are so like not homemade.
The cookies are not spectacular by any means. No. So you would think that synergy would be finished better or tied up neater. You know, also. Gotta say, them filtering in that cookie scent kind of does play into that conspiracy theory that they just pump out popcorn scent, churro scent.
Oh, like Gibson Girl on
They're
Main
definitely
Street.
Pumping that scent out of those buildings and those carts. I know they are now because
of
that cookie
scent.
Oh, and
it gets me all the time.
And it gets me every time.
I know
yeah,
it's out
right.
there. I'm like, I know what you're doing, and I'm buying.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be the one to call that one in. I get that. Those cookies are
There's
great.
Nothing magical about eating those cookies.
I'm glad you mentioned it because the blogs or like a lot of like Disney like foodies, they mentioned that damn cookie when it was announced and it was so underwhelming.
It is. You know, if you want a cookie, go to the exit of Splash Mountain where like the Pooh's Corner is.
Yeah.
They have like chocolate and like dessert treats there. Mm-hmm. And they have one of those like kind of cookies that it's baked, but yet it still tastes like just you're eating raw cookie dough.
Yeah.
And if you're into that kind of thing, that's the cookie
Ooh.
To get.
You know, it's funny that you would bring up Pooh's Corner, because speaking of Pooh's Corner, can we talk cart placement for a second? Here's a little hot tip that I don't know how you missed this one, Disney. It's a layup. When you're looking for a place to place a food cart, maybe don't place the cart at the entrance of a bathroom, because it's very odd. It's very odd to put a cookie cart right in front of the bathroom, because what makes you want to dip into a delicious cookie more than smelling urine?
Wait, is that for Jack Cookie Num Num?
Jack Cookie Num Num is right by the bathroom that sits outside of Incredicoaster.
I thought the bathroom's further back though, like where
oh,
the
it's
carousel
not further
is.
Back. It's right the cookie
it's
cart
definitely
is
a,
right
a
there.
Quick glance away.
It's within smelling distance. It's like, ah, oh, nice. Just made some room for these cookies. Now I'm gonna go right back into
the
bathroom.
Yeah, after you chug that jug of milk and you're like round two of the roller coaster, that's why they placed it there.
It's just a weird spot like also when you get off
you
a coaster,
could almost say it was forced
maybe it, I think so. It's also just like no one gets off a roller coaster and is like it's time for some cookies. It's strange. Most people are just like struggling to keep food down on a roller coaster,
and the sad thing is I always look at it and think about it.
No, I never. I think about every time I get off that ride, I look at that cart.
I love chocolate chip cookies. One of my favorite dessert items.
It's good. It's
good. But I have never actually bought it because I've tried someone else's, and I just know that every time I see it, like, I'm excited. I'm like, oh my god, a cookie! And then I'm just like, wait, no, you're not tricking me into this. This is
because you'll be sad.
This is
Every time I get off that ride, I look at the cart and I think, what a weird choice. Anyways, let's look at this ride photo that I'm going to take a picture of with my phone.
But even worse than that.
It's insulting. Like, I know.
Even worse than that. Isn't that the poultry thing in the, across the neck? It's like already
we debated.
That definitely would have been a dishonorable mention if we decided that it's more of a meal or
it is
not
a meal,
as much of a grind.
By definition, I guess. There's a chicken joint. Now we're talking about it on Pixar Pier. It's shaped like a lunchbox, and it serves... Perhaps, and this is not me exaggerating, some of the grossest chicken I've ever put in my mouth in my entire life. It was truly it was a lot of work to get through that chicken plate. It was soggy. It had no flavor. It was like they seasoned it and marinated it in juice from the chicken from last week. It was disgusting.
Ryan and I shared these buckets of they weren't buckets, boxes of chicken, like a couple years back, right when Pixar Pier opened, and I was kind of eating and thinking, fuck, I suggested this.
It's gross.
And I had to try and keep a straight face without giving up that, man, this really sucks.
It's just
I wonder if Ryan's as disappointed right now as I am.
And it's unnecessarily juicy. It's like, you know when you take out, like, your trash and there's, like, that liquid that kind of, like, coagulates at the bottom of the bag? That's what it kind of felt like. It felt like I was sipping that. It was so gross.
You got to make it crispy on the outside. It was like a, I don't know. It was like a soggy.
But why couldn't they just replicate the Plaza Inn?
And on top of it, the building itself is the biggest eyesore.
It's not. The Pixar. We don't need to get into Pixar Pier here, but it's not good. And look, I don't want to sound like a Disney cynic here. You know how, like, people are just like get really negative. I think this is a mix of. I like to stay positive here, but Pixar Pier is a disaster. Anyways. On to something more negative, dishonorable mention. My dishonorable mention is, this is gonna upset some people, and maybe one person in particular. It is the beignets. and Byron's mic immediately rose to his mouth. Look.
Ouch.
I get that the beignets are somewhat tasty. And here comes an incoming asshole alert. I've been to New Orleans.
Oh, you're so annoying. Okay, you guys talked about, like, churros.
Yeah.
Popcorn.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I've had actual beignets now, and I will fully admit I thought these beignets were pretty damn tasty before I had actually had the real beignets in New Orleans. And that's not just talking about Café du Monde. That's, like, the B-level places, like Café Beignet or any of, like, the... Like, everywhere serving beignets over there in the Big Easy. What I will say is that those beignets, the dough is thick and crispy and also floury at the same time, and it makes the experience much more satisfying. Whereas, like, I find the ones now in New Orleans and also at the Jazz Kitchen, I believe it's called in downtown Disney, I find those to be quite soggy, actually. Like, they're not as satisfying.
They're a little more stale.
They're stale. They don't have any crunch to them. And the dough is like lifeless, kind of.
So, do you remember the time? Yeah. We were in New Orleans, and then we flew back, and the same day that we flew back from New Orleans,
yes.
We went to Disneyland that
yes.
night.
Yes.
And then had the beignets.
Byron and I went to New Orleans a couple of months before the pandemic hit, and the first thing we did, like Byron said, was go to Disneyland to compare because we had the taste of beignets fresh in our mind's eye.
And we wanted to get that sensation again, and I still enjoyed it. I think we took it a different way because I was very relieved that they weren't as good as New Orleans.
Yes,
because I mean it's New Orleans, like that should be the cream of the crop, and they were amazing.
But
I respect that you guys.
I think it's pretty tough to. It's the same thing with like barbecue here. I can still find barbecue here that's good, mm-hmm. and I still respect that I can't get as good of barbecue like as you would in like Texas or Austin.
Right.
Yeah.
For the most part,
this is very much. This is a choice that's not using much logic. It's more just like I was so sad by that one experience of tasting those beignets after I'd had New Orleans beignets. And I realized that makes me totally sound like the guy who goes to study abroad for like,
yeah.
And comes back and yep. is now correcting you when you pronounce things.
Barcelona.
It's actually Barcelona. Sorry. I actually took a fucking Spanish class there once in... That's me. I'm becoming that guy.
And I'm Catalan, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah.
Not Spanish.
The prophecy is fulfilling itself. I'm becoming what I've mocked so much in the past. And you know what? I'm okay with it because I'll ride.
You're opening the door for me to just like drop my international park bombs.
You could.
You're also opening the door up for audiences who are like Mexican and they're like, you haven't tried real churros.
But I have tried real churros. I'm half Mexican, so you could come at me.
I know.
And I still think Disneyland churros are better. I'm sorry. I'm dishonoring. But the thing is, these beignets, I don't know how to explain it other than before I thought they were pretty good and they were like a tasty treat that was warm at night. Very fun. Now, I'm like...
You're not going to eat them.
I'm not going to eat them. And I hate that. I honestly, maybe
I would still want to eat them, but only to get kind of a reminder of New Orleans, knowing that like it won't be as good. But it's like, it's New Orleans Square. You're doing New Orleans
exactly.
Shit.
And I recognize I'm making what I'm saying completely unrelatable on almost every scale, because you didn't have the one singular experience I had by going to Cafe Du Monde. But I gotta say, after going to the to Disneyland and having their beignets so short after having actual beignets. It was not good. It just didn't taste good. And I was so honestly just heartbroken by that experience that I feel like that's why I'm putting it on the list, because it made me so sad because they ruined them for me. And I'm not saying that in like a badge of honor, like, oh, it'll never be the same. I'm saying that as like I'm sad because now I don't have a quick fix for my beignets.
But
so for clarification, you don't think there's any beignets in Southern California that you'll want to have now?
No,
I
don't.
It has to be Du Monde.
It has to be Du Monde. It has to just be from that New Orleans area. They just know how to cook that pastry the best.
I hear like they have other ones that are amazing too.
Oh, I'm sure. I tried to have as many beignets as I could. There was like...
Did you get them in the airport?
No, I did not get the airport. Oh, no. Byron said... Okay, so when we had the beignets... we'll end this in a sec here, but... When Byron and I did this experience and we compared the beignets, Byron did say that, look, I even had Café Du Monde beignets at the New Orleans airport, and they were better than
this.
They're
top-notch.
And they were still good, which makes me believe
The fact that they could put beignets in an airport, they have to be amazing because you're willing to spill powdered sugar all over your lap
exactly.
in the airplane, and no one's going to judge you.
Yeah. No, it's
that's how good they are.
And also the fact that they're putting the Café Du Monde in an airport means that they don't care too much about, like, the sanctity of the location on the river, which means to me, Disney, hey, seems like a layup. Why not just hook up with Café Du Monde, do a little deal, and now you're serving those beignets in the park in New Orleans Square. You already did an amazing job at replicating the look and feel of New Orleans. Why not just go all the way?
They do have beignets.
They already crossed the line with doing it with Starbucks.
Wait,
they
you're
might
talking
as well...
about selling them there?
Selling the actual Café Du Monde beignets inside the park seems like not a stretch to
Wait,
me.
What are they using
It's
now?
Not because Café Du Monde sells their mix. Like,
yeah, they sell their mix. They mix publicly. Why not just put it in the park?
So don't you think Disney's just fucking up how to make it?
And yeah.
Disney already does like big...
But
like,
it's the same
They
shit.
Already work with big companies. They did it with Starbucks. Yeah. They did it with McDonald's before when they used to sell French fries.
Yeah, so let's just... You know, let's just get them in the park. If nothing comes of this podcast other than when Disneyland reopens, they're doing with Café Du Monde beignets, then I've served my purpose on Earth, honestly. I think I could die happily after that. If that happens and I get hit by a double-decker bus tomorrow, I'm a happy man.
That missed opportunity in itself does make this dishonorable mention feel a little valid now.
It's and I realize it's totally unrelatable.
Wait, but how is it like the worst? It's
I don't
the
know.
Biggest disappointment.
It's the one that makes me the saddest for sure.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's honestly way worse foods at Disneyland, like we don't like in snacks and all that stuff. Like hot take, don't think the skewers are that great. Sorry, the Bengal skewers.
I enjoy those.
Everyone loves them.
I haven't tried the pork belly ones yet though.
I
don't understand them for that price. You're getting
exactly.
like two slices, and then you're paying like $8. Right? It's like two sticks with like one piece on each stick.
Byron looked at like you right view? Now like you just shit on his grandfather's grave.
To be fair, I don't get the skewers as much. Like, I was obsessed with them as a kid, so it's just, like, been logged into my childhood, which automatically gives it extra points. So,
totally. Yeah.
I'll have to give, when the parks reopen one day, whenever that is, maybe I'll do a little touch-up.
I would never, like, on the devalue your experiences of being the skewers. Like, your experiences of the skewers, I wish I had. It's just
me
every
too.
Time I waited in that line, it's like, I never get that much.
Yeah.
I'm never full.
That's fair. No, it's definitely more of a snack, though. It's like a grab-and-go, easy to eat. And it's just fun. It's chicken on a stick. It's skewers.
It's the definition of go, in that you take one bite, it's done. Anyways, that should wrap up this podcast. I think we need to end it here. We're already at a hearty hour and a half. So we'll see you guys next time. Any closing thoughts here?
I'm really, really, really... hungry.
Now I'm hungry.
We had a lot more to say about this than I thought we would.
It's dinner time now. I mean, we could talk about Disneyland.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm ready for dessert.
Me too. Me too. Hope you guys enjoyed listening, and tune in next time when we talk about something equally stupid. But as always, thank you for listening, and you know, keep the park closed until it's necessary for it to open, and necessary in that it's safe. But we do miss Disneyland, and until then, we're going to continue breaking it down. So we'll see you guys next time. Oh, also, we do have social media accounts now. We have an Instagram and a Twitter, at SaddestPod, which was somehow not taken. So, follow us on those. And, yeah. Adios.